February has been the month to watch anew the long, slow process of approval or denial for the Jordan Cove project. The plan calls for a liquefied natural gas, LNG, export terminal on the Oregon coast near North Bend, with a pipeline of more than 200 miles running to it from the Klamath Basin. FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, holds the biggest key. FERC was expected to rule on February 13th, then said, wait a week. Then on the 20th, voted 2-1 to hold off on approval while the commission reviewed state permit denials. Obviously, lots of permits required here. We have representatives from two LNG opposition groups here. Allie Rosenbluth is the campaigns director at Rogue Climate. Allie, good to see you again.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having us on.
Stacy Detweiler is with us as well, the conservation director from Rogue Riverkeeper. Welcome to you.
Thanks for having us.
So unpack, if you would, for each of us, your reaction to the where things stand with this sort of wait a minute kind of feeling about what FERC's last move was. Stacy?
Sure. Well, I think we were all surprised and celebrating seeing the state of Oregon deny the Department of Land Conservation Development denied the coastal zone permit for the project pretty much the night before FERC was set to make its decision. And the state really pointed to the impacts to our climate, to our waterways, to our coast, to our fisheries as significant and the reason that they denied this permit. They also pointed out that the project continues to fail to qualify for other state permits, including the Clean Water Act permit that was denied last May, which the project needs to move forward.
And then Allie Rosenbluth, what was your reaction at your organization?
Yeah, well, we were, again, also very excited to see that the state of Oregon is listening to the tens of thousands of people who have voiced concerns about this project. Because the Jordan Cove LNG project really has no viable path forward without the permits from the state of Oregon. So even if FERC later on the road decides to approve the Jordan Cove LNG project, this project cannot move forward without permits from the state of Oregon.
Do you get the sense that there was a letter this week from FERC to the, from Pembina, which is the company that wants to build Jordan Cove and the pipeline, to FERC indicating that there were some hints in here. I'll just read it. It says, finally, federalism concerns provide no support for delaying the issuance of NGA authorizations as a result of state CZMA objections. We'll get to the acronyms in a bit. State CZMA objections are subject to plenary federal administrative override, which would seem to be Pembina saying it doesn't matter what the state says. If the feds say it's okay, we're going.
Yeah, so the Coastal Zone Management Act, which is what the CZMA stands for, clearly states that the state of Oregon gets final say. The company does have an opportunity to ask the U.S. Secretary of Commerce for an override. However, the secretary must find that the project either meets the standards that protect Oregon's coast, which we know it doesn't, or say that it's necessary for national security matters. However, Jordan Cove hasn't just failed to meet the qualifications for this permit. They failed to receive their Clean Water Act permit. They've failed to receive a removal fill permit. They don't have any of the necessary state lands easements for this project. So the state of Oregon is really making it clear that this project does not qualify for the safeguards that protect our communities. And Jordan Cove wouldn't just have to figure out a way to have a federal override of this one permit, but all of those, which would be has never been seen before.
I was about to ask if there's a precedent.
There's no precedent for a fossil fuel corporation or any corporation to override state laws like this that so clearly say they preempt the federal decision. And we've seen this before in Oregon. So in 2008, the Bradwood LNG terminal, which was proposed in Astoria, Oregon, received a federal approval from FERC. They received none of their state permits from the state of Oregon because communities came together, just like ours, to speak out against the impacts of this project on their homes. And they never received state permits, and that project was never built. The company went bankrupt and vacated the application.
And I would just add to that, too, that the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, the Coastal Zone Management Act are all federal laws as well that are up to, in a lot of cases, the state to make those decisions. So the state has the opportunity to apply those standards.
That's a good point, because when you talk about things like clean air standards, these are federal standards, but that the states end up applying, because Oregon DEQ is the one essentially on the hook for making sure that the Clean Air Act standards are met. So it's interesting delegation to the states. And do you see in this letter, Stacey, Pembina saying, hey, look, you know, it doesn't matter what the states say?
Well, I think Jordan Cove can make those claims, but at the end of the day, they still don't have those state approvals that they need under federal law. And a prime example of that is the Clean Water Act Section 401 permit that was denied by Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, where it's a federal law, state decision, and the state said no.
And to add to that, too, like just before the FERC was set to make a decision, DEQ actually sent a letter to FERC that said that they are not aware of any precedent for FERC acting to approve a project under the Natural Gas Act before the applicant has even applied for that Clean Water Act. So Pembina hasn't just been denied their state permit for to protect the hundreds of waterways that would be impacted by this project, but they haven't even reapplied for that permit. And what the state is arguing is that FERC can't move forward with a permit for Jordan Cove before the company has even put in another application for that permit.
Okay, I said we'd get into the acronyms as we went along. NGA is clearly the Natural Gas Act. We mentioned CZMA, the Coastal Zone Management Act. We'll explain that a little further detail later on. I hope we'll have time to do that. Meanwhile, we're talking just generally about what's going on with Jordan Cove with FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, essentially pushing the pause button last week, saying it wanted to take a minute to take a look at the State of Oregon rulings. We have a couple of guests with us. Stacey Detweiler is the Conservation Director of Rogue Riverkeeper, and Allie Rosenbluth is the Campaigns Director of Rogue Climate. You're welcome to join this conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's back up to the general framing here. Stacey Detweiler, why does Rogue Riverkeeper oppose the LNG process?
Great question. Our organization has been involved in standing up against this project since its beginning almost 15 years ago. Our communities here in Southern Oregon have been fighting back against this project because we know that it's not right for our communities. It's going to impact hundreds of waterways here, including the Rogue River itself, where they propose to use what's called horizontal directional drilling to drill beneath the Rogue River, which has the potential to fracture the bedrock and release drilling contaminants and sediment down into the river, which supports iconic salmon and drinking water for thousands of people here in Oregon. And then outside of the Rogue watershed, of course, it would also cross the Klamath, the Coquille, the Coos, the Umpqua, and significantly dredge out and reshape Coos Bay, which is a really critical estuary. So this project just has massive implications for our waterways, for drinking water, and for the health of our communities here.
There are other pipelines and sewage pipes and water pipes and all sorts of things that go under streams in Western Oregon, and you never hear about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I think the scale of this project is somewhat unprecedented, and the fact that the company is planning to dredge, divert, dam, blast, trench through all these hundreds of waterways. In the Rogue watershed alone, the project would cross through more than 80 different waterways, and these are all smaller streams that provide cold, clean water for drinking water, for fish, and are really critical to our communities here.
So, Allie Rosenbluth, are the reasons essentially the same for opposition, or since you have a slightly different focus at Rogue Climate, are there some other issues you bring in there as opposition for the LNG?
Yeah, well, of course, we are concerned that this project would become the largest source of climate pollution in the state of Oregon. If you look at the full emissions of this project, it's equivalent to about 15 times Oregon's last remaining coal plant, which is set to close down shortly. But we are also concerned with the ways that it would impact our local community and economy here in Southern Oregon. So we know that Southern Oregonians strongly oppose this project because it would trample indigenous peoples' and landowners' rights, jeopardize hundreds of waterways, like Stacey said, which would impact existing small businesses and jobs that rely on healthy waterways, like the commercial fishing industry in Coos Bay and the tourism industry here in the Rogue River Basin and the Klamath River Basin. It would increase fire danger in our already very wildfire-prone Southern Oregon forests. And like I said before, this project alone, if we just look at the pollution just to liquefy the gas would be the largest source of climate pollution in the state of Oregon. And then if we look at the full life cycle pollution, so from the fracking that would happen mostly in British Columbia and Alberta to the actual burning of the gas, which Jordan Cove is proposing to do in Asia, again, that would be 15 times the Boardman coal plant, which is set to shut down shortly. So, you know, for Oregon, where, you know, our governor, Kate Brown, has made such clear statements that climate action is important, and we are, you know, Oregon is still failing to meet our climate targets, this project would be a huge step backwards, because not only would it contribute greatly to climate change, but it would contribute zero energy to Oregon's grid.
So you just mentioned climate impacts potentially everywhere from getting the gas in British Columbia to where it gets consumed in Asia, as is envisioned by Jordan Cove. How about the emissions just within the state of Oregon?
Yeah, so just within the state of Oregon.
From what?
So that's from the energy that it takes to liquefy the gas. So from fracked gas, just regular fracked gas, they have to cool it to negative 260 degrees to turn it into a liquid form that they can then put on these giant tankers and ship across the ocean. There's also methane pollution that's associated with a pipeline leakage. So everywhere that there's a pipeline or a compressor station, which they're proposing to build in Klamath County, there is leakage of methane, which is a very potent greenhouse gas that would impact our climate.
Let's take a phone call here. We have somebody who wants to talk about Jordan Cove and what's been going on. William in Sutherland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Allie Rosenbluth from Rogue Climate and Stacy Detweiler from Rogue Riverkeeper.
Yeah, I have some questions and some comments about this pipeline. Now, one thing, it's going through a seismic-sensitive area, which is, I would oppose it on that basis only. But this pipeline, isn't this company a Canadian company?
It is.
Okay, now how is it that a Canadian company, a foreign company, can come into this country and use eminent domain?
Let's find out. Thanks for the question, Bill. Appreciate that. Stacy, you want to take that one on?
I think Allie might jump on that one.
Yeah, that's a great question, and that is something that is a really unjust part of this project, is that if FERC approves this project, even if the company never gets the permits to construct the pipeline or the terminal from the state of Oregon, the federal government would be giving a Canadian fossil fuel corporation the right to take private property away from nearly or over 90 individual landowners in southern Oregon.
You wouldn't object any less if this were Chevron Texaco, though, would you?
No, this project would be just as bad if it was a fossil fuel corporation from anywhere else. When, you know, the landowners in southern Oregon, you know, they have their homes, and, you know, a lot of them rely on their lands for their income, right? They're ranchers, they're farmers, they have timber properties. So the idea to seize eminent domain for a fossil fuel corporation is unjust. But then when we look at it, and it is also a Canadian fossil fuel corporation that's exporting gas, there's a really big question if that is constitutionally correct, if that is something that that really is what eminent domain is supposed to be used for. And that's a question that landowners will be taking up if this project ever does get to the point to eminent domain and they have their property seized.
Let me come back to one of the areas that's a bone of contention over the Jordan Cove project and pipeline. That is the CZMA, the Coastal Zone Management Act. Stacy Detweiler, what does that do?
Sure. The Coastal Zone Management Act is one of many of our federal environmental and public health laws that are put in place to protect our health and safety and our environment. The Coastal Zone Management Act really essentially requires or allows states the authority to review large infrastructure projects like the Jordan Cove pipeline that would have far-reaching impacts to that state's coastal region. And in that process, the state is really looking at both the impacts to the coastal area and essentially compliance with the standards and programs and policies that every state has set up to protect their coasts. And then, in addition, any further environmental protection. So in the case of Jordan Cove, the state was really clear in their denial and saying not only would there be significant effects to our coast, to our fisheries, to our waterways, but further that Jordan Cove has failed to receive approved state permits through processes like, as we mentioned before, the Department of State Lands Removal Fill Permit that reviews impacts to wetlands and waterways from a project that might fill in or dredge out Coos Bay, for example, and further, that the Department of Environmental Quality actually denied the Section 401 state water quality certification, which is under the Federal Clean Water Act and allows states the authority to review whether these types of large-scale projects are in compliance with state standards that are set to protect our public health.
Now, the state standards aside, we're not working in a vacuum. Federal regulators were instructed by the White House nearly a year ago to speed up approvals of energy projects like this one. I mean, is there any surprise that we're talking about this now? Or did you think it would have been sooner? Did you think it would have been later?
Well, I think what really we're excited about here is the fact that after years and years of our communities coming together across the political spectrum to put pressure on the state of Oregon to deny permits for Jordan Cove LNG, that's finally what's happening right now. And, you know, what's really exciting about this most recent denial from the state of Oregon is not only did they, you know, list a litany of impacts that this project would see, but also they really asserted to the federal government that Oregon has the ability to make this decision and that they will continue to protect it. So we're actually asking folks to call Governor Brown at 503-378-4582 to thank her for her agency's doing a great job in protecting our communities and listening to the voices of Southern Oregonians, and also to ask her to stand up to any power grabs from the federal government that would take away our state's ability to make this decision about Jordan Cove LNG.
One of our listeners who called in a question about this and didn't stay on the line wanted to raise the issue of the surveillance, the monitoring anyway, of groups involved in opposing Jordan Cove LNG. We had known about this a couple of months ago and asked you about it a couple of months ago, but there's the more recent article in the Intercept that brings it to a sharper bit of a point that intimates that the Coos County Sheriff's Office is essentially being employed by Pemina. Do you see it that way, Stacey Detweiler? Allie Rosenbluth. I see where the glass went.
Great. Yeah. So, again, like what I said last time I was on the air talking about surveillance is our communities overwhelmingly oppose this project, and Pembina is trying to use every tool that they can to push back on our opposition. And one of the tools that they decided to use, which is, you know, likely illegal, or that's what the ACLU of Oregon has said many times, was buying a division in the Coos County Sheriff's Department and working with federal agencies and state agencies and local law enforcement to surveil pipeline opponents, mostly organizations, to see how opposition was growing. And so, you know, what as a community we need to do is we need to not let this type of surveillance intimidate us, because it clearly shows that we are on the right track to stop this project. And one update from the surveillance issue and the Coos County Sheriff's issue is actually Pembina has been withdrawing money all over Southern Oregon since it started getting state permit denials. And that includes they actually withdrew their funding for the Coos County Sheriff's Department just a few months ago. And so there is no longer an LNG division at the Coos County Sheriff's Department because Pembina has withdrawn money from the Sheriff's Department as well as other places across our community.
Okay. Well, we're out of time for this discussion, but I'm sure we'll be having it again because the Jordan Cove process has been going for many years now. First as an import, now as an export envision thing. We'll see what happens with FERC's next decision. Stacey Detweiler from Rogue Riverkeeper, Allie Rosenbluth from Rogue Climate, thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Steph.
Thanks for having us.